feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Over the past couple of Searchlight programs, we have been looking at an interesting story of a king. This story is found in Judges chapter 9 and is about a guy named Abimelech. Pastor John shared with us how Abimelech, who was one of the sons of Gideon, killed 70 of his brothers. Only the youngest escaped. Abimelech did this so the people of Shechem would appoint him as king. But a few years later, we see the men of Shechem turning on Abimelech. It seems the saying is true, what goes around comes around. As we join John for today's study, Abimelech is about to engage in battle against a man named Gaal and some of his rebels. Here now is Pastor John.
Gaal went out before the men of Shechem, and he fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech, verse 40, chased him. And now Gaal fled before Abimelech, and many were overthrown, wounded, even to the entering of the gate of the city. Then Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, which is a ways away. And Zebul thrust out Gaal from the city of Shechem, because Gaal makes his way back in. He was beat up. His guys were wiped out. And Zebul says, no, we're not taking you in. You're not going to dwell here in Shechem. It came to pass, verse 42, on the morrow, that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. So watch what Abimelech does. Remember, he's the son of who? Gideon. He took the people and divided them into three companies. Does that sound familiar? For you that recall the story of Gideon, it does. He took his dad's strategy. He didn't have his dad's heart, but he took his dad's tactics. And he divided these people into three companies, and he laid wait in the field and looked, and behold, there were come forth out of the city. He rose up against them, these people, and smote them. And Abimelech, verse 44, and the company that was with him rushed forward, stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. So Abimelech fought against the city. What city? Shechem. All day. He took the city. He slew the people. He beat them down, and he sowed it with salt. What did Jotham say in the parable? If you guys are not right in this, Abimelech is going to burn you, men of Shechem. Remember that? And now Abimelech is doing just that. He beats up the city because he's so enraged at and upset with Gaal. Now his fury is unleashed that he pours it out on the men of Shechem who gave Gaal their support, who were allied with Gaal in this rebellion. And he puts salt in the ground so that nothing will grow there again. You know, if you sow salt in a man's field, it becomes unproductive from that time on. Well, the plot thickens. Verse 46, when all the men of the Tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into the hold of the house of their god, Berith. It was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. All the guys that were on the tower previously, supposed to be guarding over the city, have now run into the temple. So Abimelech got him up, verse 48, to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And he took an axe in his hand, and he cut down a bough from the trees, and took it and laid it on his shoulder. And he said to the people that were with him, what you have seen me do, make haste and do like I have done. He went and chopped down a tree and said, what I've done, you do too. So Abimelech's men all go with their axes and chop down trees as well. Interesting. And all the people, verse 49, did just like he did. And they followed Abimelech. And now they take these boughs, these branches, and set the hold, this boughs and branch pile that is now around the city of Shechem, they set it on fire so that all the men of the Tower of Shechem died also, 1,000 men and women. Remember what Jotham said? He's going to burn you. And sure enough, he does. Taking these branches, those boughs, he lights them on fire. And the men that are left alive in Shechem, along with the women and children, are all consumed and devoured by the flames. 1,000 died. Then Abimelech, verse 50, after burning down his city, his mom's city, the city he was supposed to rule over, but that's what Antichrist will do too. And Abimelech is a powerful picture, a portrait of what Antichrist will do. First, they're a man of peace, but then pouring out his fury, destroying, devouring. Oh, my. Abimelech then goes to Thebes, 10 miles away, and encamped against Thebes and took it too. But, verse 51, there was a strong tower in that city, and thither fled all the men and the women. And all they of the city were in this tower, and they shut it up. They went to the tower, they locked themselves in. Abimelech, verse 52, came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. He's on this rampage, destroying, you see, anyone who's getting in his way. See, so here he is now. Into that city he goes. The folks are hiding away in a tower, and he comes against where they're hiding away to burn them with fire as well. But verse 53, a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. She's in the tower. She sees him down there. She takes a millstone, a rock that was about, 2 or 3 inches thick, 18, 20 inches long approximately. They used it for grinding up stuff. Women used it as a cooking utensil. It was a modern, what do you call those things that you have in your kitchen? Cuisinarts or whatever they are. She took that baby, or whatever it is. Blender, I don't know. She took that thing. She sees him down there. Boom! She throws the millstone and bullseye. Boom! It hits him in the head. Amazing. Then he called hastily unto the young man. He had a splitting headache, believe me. And he's lying there on the ground, having been hit in the head with this millstone. And he said to this young man, draw your sword and slay me, that the men say not of me, a woman slew him. Just kill me. I don't want this, man, the weaker sex. I don't want a woman to kill me, Abimelech said. Just, hey, man, do it. Get it over with. I don't want to die this way. I don't want people to know it was a woman, you know. Don't let that be. Can't be. Mustn't be. It's like the guy that walks into the library and says to that female librarian, I'm looking for a book. Oh, what book is that? It's entitled Men, the Superior Sex. And she looked at him and said, well, it's two aisles down in fiction. Yeah. John Burneth, the pastor, told me years ago, he said, you know, I was there on a Saturday night studying for Sunday morning. And he said, my wife asked me to come in and help her with the dishes. And I said, you know, I'm doing God's work. I'm getting ready for tomorrow's sermon. Sorry, hon. And so she just quietly puts down her dish rag or what have you and goes off to the other room and was there for about 15 minutes, according to John's story. And she came back and said, you know, I've got an important verse for you to consider in light of tomorrow being Sunday and what you said to me just then. What verse is that? He said. And she opened up and said, listen to this, as she read from 2 Kings 21, verse 13. Thus saith the Lord, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And she said, if the Lord does dishes, you can do dishes too. And with that, he put on his apron and wiped away that day. But here a woman, you see, boom, throws down a millstone, and it hits him in the head, and he says, "Oh, don't let me die at the hand of a lady. Kill me." So the young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. So now after he was rampaging in these Israeli cities, he already wiped out Shechem, the place that he was ruling over, the place that his mom was living at previously, the place he was claiming to be from. By the way, Hafez Assad, the guy that died, who was president of Syria, now his son Bashar is in charge of the nation. When he was coming into power in the 1960s, early 70s, he actually ordered the destruction of his home city, and 35,000 people were killed in his hometown. Every person was killed. It didn't make the news stories. It's an amazing thing. There's books written on it. It's a real amazing thing. But he destroyed his hometown. This very diabolical leader, Assad, a man that the world is saying, or no longer because he's not here anymore, but the world is saying to Israel, you must make peace with Assad, and now with his son, you must make peace with the Syrians. But here's a guy from Syria in our time who literally leveled his hometown because they didn't support him on a political issue. So he ordered the destruction of all of his family, all of the community. It was holocaustic, really, but not mentioned, only on the back pages of our newspapers, the back pages of our news magazines. But Abimelech was that same way. You know, he destroys his own town, Shechem, and now he's destroying Israeli cities too, or Israelite cities as well. But when they see that Abimelech is dead, this type of Antichrist, for you prophecy buffs, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness, verse 56, of Abimelech, which he did to his father, in slaying his 70 brothers, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. Interesting. Two things to take note of and work through for this evening. First of all, notice the peril of ambition. Abimelech wanted to be on top. He wanted to get ahead. And if getting ahead means getting ahead, if that's what it means in your job, in my life, in our thing, if getting ahead means you're getting ahead, that is, you're cutting somebody else down, you're chopping somebody else up, well, I've got to get ahead. It's a dog-eat-dog world, man. And I've got to just do what it takes to excel, to succeed. And so consequently, hey, let the chips fall where they may. But getting ahead means I'm going to be getting ahead. If getting ahead means getting ahead, then that means you're going to be getting ahead ache, like Abimelech. You might win. You might make it to the top. You might succeed. But look at what happens to this guy. Ambition will cause you, will cause me to do things that we wouldn't have otherwise done. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth." Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. The world is saying, watch out for number one. The world is saying, learn the tactics of Lao Tse, the military mastermind from the Ming Dynasty or whatever it might be. God says, no, if getting ahead means getting ahead, you're going to get a headache and a heartbreak. It's not going to work. The peril of ambition. Secondly, notice also that this story not only deals with that, the peril of ambition, but the principle of sowing. The peril of ambition and the principle of sowing. You reap what you sow. I want to be crowned, and I'll do whatever it takes to be crowned. So he was crowned all right. Crowned on the head with a millstone that day. See? What you sow, you reap. If you take somebody else down, if you wipe somebody else out, know this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that will you also reap. Somehow I'm praying, oh Lord, help me to really, truly know this to be true. That every time that I nick somebody or lop off their head brutally, that it's going to come back on me. And there are no exceptions. Well, John, what if I ask forgiveness? Then you're forgiven, but the repercussions will still come your way. They'll still come my way. If you sow the seed, the crop is going to come up. And this is a powerful story. See, you know, it's interesting. He lopped off their heads on a stone, and a stone came down on his head. What you sow, you reap. He wanted to be crowned, and he got crowned. What you sow, you reap. See, is it worth a chapter for that simple thought, meditation, and application? You bet. If, on the other hand, you defend others and build up and be a blessing, if I speak highly of people and defend folks, like we talked about last or two Sundays ago, the next judge in our story, Tola, if that's what I do, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken up, running over will men give unto you. Now that's a verse that people use in talking about tithing. You've heard it on Christian TV or from preachers perhaps. Hey, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give unto your bosom. And they'll say, if you just give, it'll be given back. Well, that's true, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. In that text, he's talking about be merciful. And if you're merciful, you're going to get back mercy, pressed down and running over. Men are going to be merciful to you. On the other hand, if I lop off heads to get ahead, that's what's going to happen to me too. See? Wow. Abimelech. Interesting story. Prophetic lessons that we didn't really get into that you might want to think through later on. Practical issues, real important for me and you. And that is, what you reap, you sow. And the peril of ambition. Don't be, listen to me, do not be, listen to me, don't be ambitious, but rather desire to be a servant. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Well, how can I serve? Stand up for people. Defend, don't destroy. Cover, don't expose. Build up, don't tear down. Don't be an Abimelech. Don't say, well, if I put him down, I can get ahead. It'll cost you your head. Oh, may the lessons of Abimelech be remembered by you, by me, in these days, when perhaps the urge might be to lop off a head or two. God help us. God help us. You see, important story. Book of Judges. Judge not, lest you be judged. As you would have men do to you, do unto others, Jesus said. If you blast people or find fault with folks, even in the name of discussions around the dinner table, listen to me. And I've been guilty of this in past years, and I can still be vulnerable to this in these days. Just lopping off heads. Can you believe that politician said that? Or those guys did that? I'm telling you what God declares. If you're merciful, you will be a recipient of mercy. If you're merciless, I guarantee it's going to come crashing down on your head sooner or later. Ask Abimelech. We can really deal with issues and say, this is why this thinking is in error or this philosophy is amiss. But we can do so in humility and in love without becoming brutal or with an arrogant tone or a mocking spirit. Yeah, but that guy is such an idiot. How could he? How could she? How could they? I mean, look at those guys. They're on the news. Or look at the... Listen, and listen to me very carefully, folks. This is just... I'm just talking to you for you to consider. We live in a very caustic society. And I can be that way. And I recognize it. You can receive good information from all kinds of commentators and all kinds of news broadcasters. But make sure that the voice that you speak with and the tone of your words is Jesus. That's your hero. And I think in evangelical Christianity today, I'm hearing a lot more of Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly than I am of Jesus. And it bothers me. I'm hearing that in my own voice. And I'm saying, Lord, change me. I want to be merciful. I want to point out where there's errors. It's true. And I want to explain and teach and instruct. But Lord, help me to do so with a humble heart, with a broken heart. Help me not to be like Abimelech. Can you believe what my brothers want to do? I would be better in power. And that's so often what we say, we imply. Well, if I was president, if I was senator, if I was congressman, if I was whoever, I wouldn't do that, and I would be this, and why are they? Careful. Jesus is your role model. Jesus is our hero, not Bill O'Reilly. Are you with me? Think this through. And may Applegate Fellowship, may you in this church be known as the most merciful, kind, gracious people in this whole county, in this whole state, in this whole country. That doesn't mean that we don't make calls and point out where things need to be adjusted or corrected. But make sure it's done with a spirit of humility, brokenness. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Not how could he, how could they, how could she. See, we all have a lot of growing to do. But I read the story of Abimelech and I go, Lord, I don't want that to happen to me. I have enough headaches. I don't want, Lord, that which I've sown in those ways to come hurling back on my head. I want good things to come down. I want to plant good seed. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. The ambitious, Abimelech, all you'll end up is with a splitting headache, a migraine. It's brutal.
It is brutal. What a good warning for us. Let's instead choose Jesus as our role model. Let's extend mercy and grace. Let's build up and encourage. It's the right thing to do.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
We all go through challenging times in our lives, but we are not alone in these times. We have a faithful and loving God who walks with us day by day. To help us explore the faithfulness of God in these difficult times, Pastor John has made a book available called A Future and a Hope. In this book, John shares some of his personal experiences in dealing with tragedies, including the death of his young wife and later the death of his 16-year-old daughter. As John relates his own stories, we see a God who is faithful and compassionate at all times. A Future and Hope is especially comforting for those who are currently experiencing tragedy or loss in their life. If you would like this book for yourself or someone you know, you can order it from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.